Today, I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may live as wise people who show love for one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Although today I'm preaching from the epistle, I want to start with a part of the gospel reading for today, a reading that I've preached on many times on New Year's Eve. Because the parable in the gospel today is the set gospel reading for New Year's Eve. But listen to these words. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, the details of this situation with Pilate and the Galileans are unclear. But what is evident is that some startling and violent action had occurred, and that the situation is presented to Jesus by some in the crowds as a kind of question. It's like they're asking, those Galileans, they suffered in this ghastly way because they were bad sinners, right? And if God punishes sinners in this way, then others have it coming, right? Which sinners do you think God is going to punish next? These are the sort of questions that can come up naturally to us as human beings. They are questions that arise in our own minds as we think about tragedy and disaster in this world. But Jesus does not respond in the way the people from the crowds expected or in the way that we might expect. He has a very different way of interpreting the tragedy. This is how the reading goes on. Jesus asked them, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Jesus doesn't focus on the sins of those who suffered. Instead, Jesus issues a call to repentance. A call to repentance to those who had questions about the sufferings of others. He calls them, the questioners, to turn back to God. Now, when after the resurrection and the ascension, the apostles proclaimed the good news, they followed their master in proclaiming repentance, turning back to God. And more than this, they proclaimed the master himself as they announced the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, today's epistle reading is a great example of apostolic proclamation. St. Paul unpacks the Old Testament, and especially the account of the Exodus, to issue a call to repentance to us, to turn us back to God, and to free us to receive the gift of forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now, I'll pause here to say a bit more about this before we go on. As modern readers of the Bible, we often have a particular set of questions when it comes to the narrative of the Old Testament, and especially, you could say, the first five books of the Bible. The questions which we have, which come somewhat naturally to us, you could call scientific questions, like, on the ark, how did the lions and the antelopes get on? Or, what exactly, with this rock issuing water in the desert, what exactly happened there? And the manna from heaven, if we looked at that under a microscope, what would we find? Now, these are all interesting enough questions in their own way, but they are not the sort of questions that the apostles brought to their reading of Scripture. When they read the Old Testament, they thought, how does what is written here give us a call to turn back to God? And how does it proclaim what Christ Jesus has done for us? Again, St. Paul is doing this today. So let's listen to what he has to say, how he reads Scripture. He writes, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all drank the same spiritual food, and all drank, I should say, ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, St. Paul here is listing different examples of the life of God's people as they are recorded, especially in the account of the Exodus. He's also apparently picking up on some of the rabbinic tradition regarding the rock from which the people drank. But the point St. Paul is beginning to make is that there are connections between God's old covenant people and us, the people of the new covenant. In fact, he is saying there are sacramental connections between them and us. That just as they had a washing and a spiritual food and drink, we have baptism and the Lord's Supper. Their washing, their drink, their food, that was a type of what is to come among us. But before St. Paul develops this teaching, he says this: nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. St. Paul is reading the Old Testament to make a call to repentance. He's giving us a warning. The people of the Exodus all shared in a sort of sacramental life as God's people. But this did not mean they could use their freedom from slavery in Egypt to act as they pleased, without reference to God or other people. And it's worth noting, by the way, that today's epistle reading is part of an extended discussion on food sacrificed to idols and the right use of Christian freedom. We can't get into that today in the sermon, but if you go back and look at 1 Corinthians, you'll see that context is important here, the right use of Christian freedom in relation to food sacrificed to idols. Now, what St. Paul goes on today makes explicit how he is reading the Old Testament and how we can read it well today. He says, "Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did." In other words, when we read the Exodus account, it's good for us to put our questions on hold for a while and to think, what is God saying to me through this reading? How do the types, the patterns, the examples of the Old Testament teach me about life with God in the church here and now? Well, St. Paul develops this way of thinking further. He goes on, "Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." For St. Paul, in the account of the Exodus, in the account of God's people moving from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, we have types. We have examples of God's people. They were like us, and we are like them. And St. Paul reminds us, God's people of old fell into the sins of idolatry, of sexual immorality, and of complaining. He teaches us that their membership in God's covenant community did not stop them from suffering the consequences of their sin. Now, it's not that we should think, well, thank God that we're not like them. Rather, St. Paul writes this: "These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So, if you think you're standing, watch out that you do not fall." When we read the account of the Exodus, we are reading our family history. Their story is our story, and their example is for us to pay attention to. They could fall into sin when they were tempted, even those who were mature, even those who had positions of leadership. who had experienced the powerful work of God in their lives, even they could fall into sin. So we do well to acknowledge our own frailty, to live in humility before God and other people, and to watch out that we don't fall as well. So there is the call to repentance that St. Paul is making, the same call to repentance that Jesus made in his ministry. But of course, the call to repentance is not the whole of the apostolic proclamation. There's also the message of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. And St. Paul ends today's reading on a note of hope. He writes, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out, so that you may be able to endure it." Now, St. Paul does not give us specific examples of what these ways out might be. He simply assures us that the Lord is at hand when we are tempted, that he will provide a way for us to escape the destructive power of sin. But as we close, I'd like to explore one way out of temptation that we have in Jesus. When we sin, we can feel like giving up. We can feel that we are spiritual frauds, that we will never be real Christians, that our baptism means nothing, that our reception of the Lord's Supper is ineffective. And then we can be tempted to fall more deeply into that sin, which is the occasion for our temptation to despair in the first place. Whether it's trusting in money to give us security and peace, making that an idol, or in the sedative effects of abusing alcohol, or the apparent fulfillment of sexual immorality, or the strange comfort that can come from grumbling about God, or grumbling about the church, or grumbling about our fellow Christians, or complaining even about our spouse or children or the family that God has given us. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there now. But know that God is not far from you. He has a way out. You don't need to give up. You don't need to pattern the behavior that issues from despair. In Jesus, you have the fullness of forgiveness from God. He is a bigger savior than you are a sinner. And he is the one who is with you to bring you out of slavery into sin, into the freedom of the children of God. Jesus provides his word to you and his forgiveness, his word of peace. And that is a way out of temptation for you. So let's keep our ears open to listen to those whom God has sent to us. Maybe his words are in our memory. And let's listen also to those whom God sends to us now, who speak the word of forgiveness to us, who encourage us to trust in the mercy of God. Let's listen to those whom God has sent to us, who speak this word, whether they're the pastor, or our mum or dad, or family members, or workmates, or friends. Let's listen to the encouragement we have in them, and so find a way out when we are tempted, so that we may live with hope, and so that we may use our freedom to turn away from sin, to lead holy lives, and to look out for the interests of each other. God has brought us together not to destroy us, but to give us life. We are in the kingdom of God, so the fruit of the Spirit may be grown by his word among us. So let's always encourage each other in this. Never despair, but follow Jesus on his path through the cross to life with the Father. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.